Call to order council meeting for December the 9th. If everyone would stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and the future as well. Amen.
Can we have roll call?
Here.
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 Here. Adoption of the agenda.
Move that we adopt the agenda.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Vice President Ravelet to adopt the agenda as presented.
Question.
Greg Chatton.
Yes.
Dan Ravelet.
Yes.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
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 And the agenda is approved by a vote of 7-0. Need approval of the minutes for November 25th.
Move we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Vice President Ravelet to approve the minutes as presented.
Question.
Yes.
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 And those are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, we'd like to invite all the members of council and the public to attend tonight's 100th anniversary celebration of the original Carnegie Library, Knox County Public Library. They have an open house from 6 to 8:30 and have music and a presentation about the history of the library and refreshments. So, 100th anniversary is a big deal, so I invite everybody to attend.
Okay. Anyone else? If not, committee chair reports. Being none, report of city officers. I do want to mention real quick that Brad Snyder, the new city inspector who will take Phil's place, is with us this evening. He's actually started already working with Phil. Phil will be retired after the end of this month, so. Okay, if nothing else, we'll go to old business, ordinance 11-2019, adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance. And this is reference to the Cantwell property on Washington Avenue. Your first reading was November 25th.
Move we have a second reading of this ordinance.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Vice President Ravelet to have second reading of ordinance 11-2019.
Ordinance 11-2019, an ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance, currently C2 and R2, requests that it be changed to C3, containing sections 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, discussion.
Hello, I'm Katie Cotter. I'm back again on behalf of Elmzo LLC. The area plan meeting was last week. Hopefully you received the transmittal notice from Colt. They gave it a favorable recommendation, and as a result, we're asking that it be passed on second and third reading tonight.
Okay. Any questions?
Call for questions.
Shirley Rose.
Yes.
Jim Salters.
Yes.
Tracy Brees.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Ryan Grove.
Yes.
Dwayne Chatton.
Yes.
Dan Ravelet.
Yes.
And second reading of ordinance 11-2019 passes by a vote of 7-0. Need a motion for third.
I move we have a third reading of ordinance 11-2019.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Vice President Ravelet for third and final reading of ordinance 11-2019.
Ordinance 11-2019, ordinance adopting amendments to Knox County zoning ordinance from C2, R2 to C3, containing sections 1, 2, and 3.
Discussion.
Call for question.
Shirley Rose.
Yes.
Jim Salters.
Yes.
Tracy Brees.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Ryan Grove.
Yes.
Dwayne Chatton.
Yes.
Dan Ravelet.
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the third reading passes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next is ordinance 12-2019, adopting amendments to Knox County zoning ordinance for 825 North 14th. You passed the first reading on November 25th.
Move we have a second reading of ordinance 12-2019.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Vice President Ravalette to have second reading of ordinance 12-2019.
Ordinance 12-2019, ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County Code of Zoning Ordinances, currently R1, and we request R2, sections 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, discussion?
Hi.
You're Megan?
Yes, Megan McKiska, and I have this lot, and we went last week as well to zoning, and it was favorable to be changed to R2 from R1.
Okay.
I would like to see if we could do also the second and third reading tonight.
Right. And this is for a duplex, correct?
Yes, it is, sir.
And you will have the proper off-street parking, so?
Yes, we did talk about that last week, and we talked about having 4 to 5 parking spots available.
Okay.
Awesome. Question?
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Groh?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
Jim Salters?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tracy Brees?
Yes.
And second reading passes by a vote of 7-0. Need a motion for third.
Move we have a third reading of ordinance 12-2019.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Vice President Ravalette to have third and final reading of ordinance 12-2019.
Ordinance 12-2019, an ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance from R1 to R2, sections 1, 2, and 3.
Have you any discussion or questions?
Call for the question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Groh?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tracy Brees?
Yes.
And third and final reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
Thank you.
Thanks. New business, first up is ordinance 14-2019, transfer of funds for MVH, CCD, and Lowert. And it also, we need to make sure that we pass this on 3 readings so that it can be finalized to the state in time for.
Move we have a first reading of ordinance 14-2019.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Vice President Ravalette to have first reading of ordinance 14-2019.
Ordinance 14-2019, transfer of fund ordinances containing sections 1 and 2, total a reduction of $404,233.
Discussion? I'll just say real quick, the reason for this is because of the way we have to account for MVH funds now. This is where we have to move the money around to show that we're using MVH dollars to pave with, and then we're using what we would have used for paving to run the street department. So it's basically just moving the money around to show that we spent money on paving.
Call for the question.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tracy Brees?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Brian Groh?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Ravalette?
Yes.
And first reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
Maybe we have a second reading of ordinance 14-2019.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Vice President Ravalette to have second reading of ordinance 14-2019.
Ordinance 14-2019, transfer of fund ordinance sections 1 and 2 for the MVH fund.
Again, discussion?
Call for the question.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tracy Brees?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Brian Groh?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
And second reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
I move we suspend the rules and pass ordinance 14-2019 on third reading.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Vice President Ravalette to suspend the rules and have third reading of ordinance 14-2019.
Question.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tracy Brees?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Brian Groh?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, we will suspend the rules and have third reading. Need a motion.
Do what?
Are we doing the third reading now?
We did the suspend and the third reading at the same time, unless you want to.
You're the president.
No, okay. We've done that way before.
I'm dying to read it, though.
Wants to do another vote, but my motion was to suspend the rules and pass third reading. So if that meets your muster, it meets mine.
Ordinance 14-2019, transfer of funds, ordinance 1 and 2. You squeezed all the joy out of that.
So do they need to vote on the third, or does it?
Yeah, that's okay.
There we go.
Then we'll move on to Resolution 7-2019, transparency resolution of the council.
Move that we read and approve Resolution 7-2019.
Got a motion by President Chapman. Do we have a second? Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose to read Resolution 7-2019 and approve.
Resolution 7-2019, whereas the City Council supports transparency, enabling the public and their representatives to make informed decisions, and whereas the public has been unaware that there is a wide range of compensation levels among City Council members due to the eligibility of members and their families to be covered by city health insurance benefits. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council directs the mayor and or city clerk treasurer to issue an annual report to the public that lists each city council member and the respective compensation, which includes both salary and the amount the city pays for each respective member's city health insurance coverage. The Vincennes City Council hereby directs the city clerk treasurer to cause the books and records of the city of Vincennes, Indiana to reflect the effects of this resolution, omitting formal parts.
Okay, discussion.
Mr. Mayor, it's self-explanatory, a fairly brief resolution, and I would call for the council to pass this unanimously.
I guess the biggest question that I have about this resolution is, like, what's the actual goal? I mean, I saw what it stated there, obviously, to inform people with an annual report, but, I mean, this information is already pretty public and out there at numerous points. So I'm trying to kind of run this through my head. You know, what are we trying to get here? We've had kind of a discussion with this about resolutions before, and we voted one down similar. You know, I like it when they actually mean something and it's not just a pat on the back. If we want to be transparent, we just be transparent. We don't need a resolution or an ordinance to do that. Like I said, this information is already public. You can find it in many different forms. You can find it in many different areas. We discuss it numerous times in budget hearings, in budget meetings. It's sent out to local media. It's reported on. It's uploaded to the state. And then you can easily find it on the Indiana Gateway website. I spent about 5 to 10 minutes today kind of playing around with it. I'm not as familiar as I need to be with that website, but I found it pretty quickly. If you want to do the annual report thing, just do the annual report. I don't see the point of having an ordinance. If you're the president, just do it. Ask the council, make sure that we're okay with it, and we just go with it. But once again, this is information that we discuss numerous times. I guess the thing that really confuses me is we've sat on this for a couple of weeks now, and this the importance of it now over the last year, the last 4 years, and now this has become kind of this key issue. I mean, we have to remember that just saying that we're transparent or just putting transparency in a resolution doesn't mean that we are or that resolution is. We actually have to do it. These questions, specifically when it comes to council pay and how much insurance costs, they've come up numerous times to me throughout the years that I've been on council, and I didn't need a resolution to answer the question to the people. I just answered it and gave them the question. It could be something as simple as just asking somebody, like, hey, Councilman Grove, how much does a council member make?
$7,200 a year.
Do council members get insurance?
Yes.
What kind of plans, family or single?
Both.
Do they have to take the insurance?
No.
What are the costs for the family or single plan?
Well, the cost is about $13,000 for a family plan. I know that because I'm on a family plan. I think it's around $4,000 for a single plan.
I mean,
I can get those numbers specifically from the clerk treasurer.
The thing that I have, if we miss the information during the budget hearing or the numerous budget meetings that we've had, we don't know what website to look for. We forgot that we could call the clerk treasurer or the mayor's office. You could always ask your council representative, always. I mean, we're always there to answer questions. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. I know I've said it before, and I've repeated this numerous times to the public. I don't take the insurance. I never had, and maybe you're probably asking, well, you don't have any skin in the game. Why do you have an opinion on this? To me, it just seems odd that we keep bringing this subject up. We had budget hearings 2 months ago. Wasn't even brought up, wasn't even talked about. And it's never been talked about since I've been on the council. And I think the biggest thing that we talked about when it came to insurance was specifically the $400,000 that we saved this year, and we were thankful to the mayor for that. The key thing that I want to get is resolutions have to mean something or they become pointless, and I'm really afraid this is the route that we're going down.
And I'm just baffled because 20 years this has been on, over 20 years, and you've been on the council that entire time. I saw other people getting insurance cards. The only difference that I see is that your friends aren't on the council any longer. And that is, in 20 years, 20 years.
Anytime you are bringing that kind of aspersion on another member, that's that out of order. If you read the council rules, you're implying that I have some sort of evil motive here, and that's clearly.
To me, it appears vindictive, because.
I take offense to that, and I would ask that be stricken. There's no excuse for that.
Well, I mean, there's no excuse for this, really. I mean, and.
There's no excuse for bringing transparency.
This isn't being.
A process that has not been transparent. Now, let me just ask this, because a councilman made a point that we've discussed this numerous times, and everybody knows these different levels of compensation. Can you cite a date other than the last meeting when I brought it up? Can you cite a date of a meeting, or even a month, that we discussed that council members received wildly different compensation?
I mean, we could just go through our budget packets, our budget hearings, Councilman Chatton. I mean, it's right in there, and it sets how many we have set aside. Like, I mean, we know that option's available.
At a budget hearing where we discuss.
It's either going to be August or September of every year that I've been on the council that we go over those budget hearings. Like, you can just look through it. It's not too hard to figure out.
And you said it's been under your crawl for this long. You didn't bring it up during those budget hearings.
You know, this is really, in essence, not a budget issue. It's a question of fairness among council members. Clearly, the city can afford it, and clearly we can afford it because the mayor has negotiated a better insurance package that has reduced the cost of insurance. So that, thank you for that. It is really a question that I think that most members of the public, in fact, virtually all members of the public, do not realize that council members are compensated at wildly different levels.
Why just the council? Why not all elected officials?
Well, I think that full-time employees, I think there's an established custom in this country of full-time employees do get to choose their insurance back. I said at the previous meeting that city council members are the most part-time of all part-time employees in the city. We do not offer any insurance to part-time city employees. So why would we offer a very lucrative health insurance package to the most part-time of all part-time employees? But I want to go back to this earlier issue, because to me, this whole issue is transparency. It was mentioned at the last meeting that there is a theory, and I wasn't on the council when this was adopted, that council members could take insurance, so I don't know what the arguments exactly were, but there was a theory that it was done to attract more candidates to run for office. Well, if that's the theory, then let's get out and publicize the fact that council members get health insurance, so that we can attract more candidates. But we don't discuss it. It was not discussed at public, at the budget hearings. It was simply not. The health insurance is a lump sum that, unless you go into the clerk's office and specifically ask for a breakout of individuals, the public is not aware. So what you are saying is on its face, incorrect.
It's not hard to figure out. You go and talk. Do you talk to all of us? Do you go? I mean, if somebody's got a question and you want to be transparent, just go out and say it and talk it. Like, oh, we're going to be transparent. This is going to mark the point. This is the point that we're going to be transparent. I can go and ask every single one of us and talk through that. I can go and look through the budget things, our budget printouts, our Excel sheets. I can go through, and I know some of that's not going to be public information because it's going to make sure that, hey, Council A, Council B, Council C, Council D. But I can kind of figure out if I go and talk to an individual councilman and or councilwoman, and guess what? Most people on here, if not all of them, are extremely open and are willing to give that information if you're willing to ask.
But you're creating a complexity here. For instance,
this is not a complexity. It's just asking a question.
Well, as an example, you could have a member of the public go into the clerk's office and ask for the salaries of city council members, and clerk treasurer is going to readily give the public that figure. But if you were to ask an entirely different question, what's the compensation level of each council member, the clerk treasurer is going to have to look that up. It's not sitting there in a report.
But again, why are you asking for the report to be transparent just for the council? And by passing this, are you saying that you haven't been transparent over the last 20 years? To me, it looks like, okay, now I want to be transparent on this.
Well,
and to us, I mean, transparency is not producing information. The information is readily available.
Well, I would quote our esteemed editor Gail Robbins, sitting in front of the row, who in his column talked to, according to the column, quite a few members of the public, and according to his talking to the public, they were unaware that council members were even eligible for city health insurance, let alone the wide range of compensation levels among council members. So, if you don't take my word for it that the public is not aware, the editor of the newspaper, through talking to the public, has identified that the public is unaware. This resolution is very simple. It just says once a year, the mayor or the clerk treasurer will just issue a report that lists each member of the council, their total compensation level, that includes salary and city paid health insurance. It's no more complicated than that. And if you are in favor, in fact, of transparency, issuing an annual report is as good a way as any to do it. It's not going to put an undue burden on the clerk treasurer or the mayor to do that, but it has not been done in the past. And as a longtime member of the council, it should have been, so apologize for years that it has not been, but I would like to correct that now. As a matter of record, this does not affect me. Obviously, I'm not eligible for insurance next year, but I have never taken city health insurance, not even when I retired from the university in February of 2018, and could have used city health insurance in place of university insurance. But I went on Medicare and elected to pay my own Medicare supplement policy. Now, that's just me. But I do think that the public has a right to know that although we do the same job, I don't care whether you're the president, you're the vice president, whether you're a district member, whether you're an at-large member, we all do the same job. We all adopt a budget. We all pass city ordinances. So I think, in my humble opinion, our compensation should be equal. But if it's not equal, and I was hoping that my ordinance at the last meeting would pass to bring inequality to that compensation level, but since it failed, at least let's make it transparent so the public can be aware. Let's not make them go camp out in the clerk treasurer's office to find out a figure that's fairly obscure and that has not, and I would emphasize this, has not been discussed at budget hearings in the past. We have never, in a budget hearing that I can recall, sat down and said, okay, here's our seven council members, and here's what each one is being compensated with, including the city insurance. We've never done that.
I got just a question on the equality, and I just want to set that straight. In every aspect of employment, it's never going to be equal across the board as far as benefit packages. If you're a family, you're obviously going to collect more benefits than somebody that is unmarried and no children. That's just how it is. And if you say that it's not equal because I am collecting a family plan, that is a benefit. It's nothing against the type of work or the amount of work that we do. You're never going to be even unless you get married and have more kids. And that's just a simple fact. You pay for it, and...
Does anyone want to contest the argument that city council members are the, I'm going to phrase it, most part-time of all city employees? If you're riding on the back of a packer truck, or you're cleaning out animal cages for the animal control department, or any number of other part-time jobs we have in the parks department and other departments, can anyone seriously say that we work more hours than any of those part-time employees that do not receive any health insurance coverage whatsoever? Can anyone contest that? We are the most part-time of all city employees.
Then why haven't we talked about part-time employees?
Well, any member can bring up whatever topic they want to.
Right, but this seems to be the big crux of the issue.
No,
you've never brought it up, and now this seems to be the issue.
Well, you're saying equal compensation, but you're talking about equal compensation amongst the council members.
That's all this resolution deals with. It does not deal with any other department of the city. That is true. And I just think
right. The
council should be transparent in what council members receive as compensation.
Sharon, say I walk into the clerk treasurer's office a year from now. What would it take you to get this information?
Nothing, because I won't be there.
That's the best answer of the evening.
Okay, but you would know how long that takes, correct?
To get, I mean, we would run a report and see what.
How long would that take?
It wouldn't take 5 minutes.
Okay, so go ahead.
But if you want to know then about the insurance, then we'd have to go back and look at a report to see who is taking the insurance and what kind they're taking and add that to it.
But you could get that relative, that might take another 5 minutes. So you're looking at 10 minutes.
At most.
At most, to get all of this information. Okay. So to actually do a formal report, I'm not sure who is going to want that information, first of all. But that information is readily available, and without a whole lot of effort, you could get that, or the clerk treasurer that's in there.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
As a follow-up question to that, would it take any more time to create an annual report such as is suggested by this resolution? It's going to take the same amount of time to make that report as it is to answer an individual's question that they come into your office.
It would take longer because you have to type it.
Well, sure it would. So it would be far easier if you did an annual report, and then when that member of the public came into your office and asked that question, you would say, oh, we do an annual report on that. Let me pull that, and you give it to them. You don't have to do any further research.
Yeah, Kathy. How long would it take? It's going to take longer to do an annual report because you're going to, I mean, you can put on a spreadsheet. Once you get your spreadsheet made, then.
And we have annual reports on a number of different issues. An animal control department by ordinance is required to do an annual report. This is just a very simple resolution. It just says, show us in an annual report what the compensation level is of individual council members. It says nothing more or less than that very simple statement.
I think it says a lot more. It says that It says that we have tried to hide that fact previously. And that is not the case.
Well, it's not been discussed at a public meeting, has it?
It's never been brought up except by you.
Well, so much credit to me for bringing it up, even if it's late. My point is it should be public knowledge. If, in fact, that a council back in the 90s actually, for the first time, introduced the council members to be eligible to take city health insurance, if their goal was in fact to attract more candidates, does not it makes sense that we would want to publicize the fact that we get that health insurance in order to create a larger pool of candidates, if that was the goal.
Well, I don't know, I wasn't on the council when it passed, so I don't know. Creating the pool of candidates, I think, falls back to your chairs, and, you know, if they want people to know that, then, you know, they will sell that to the people that's running.
So if somebody
is wanting to run, obviously they're going to look into the cost that it will run to run and what benefits you would gain. So that goes back to the person that would run for election. I know I did my research. I know the people that ran with us this last time, they either did their research or we sold them on the fact of pros and cons of what you get out of being on the council. So
what I've heard tonight is that it takes about maybe 10 minutes for the clerk's office to produce such a report, so it's hardly a cumbersome exercise, and yet it would serve the purpose of making the public aware of the different compensation levels. So what possible reason could there be to not have unanimous vote in favor of Resolution 7-2019? If you're in favor of transparency, this is a step forward to bring that transparency to the process. So I think that we have covered this topic fairly well. I would just ask for a unanimous vote for transparency, which is a yes vote for Resolution 7-2019. And unless someone has further discussion, I would call for the question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Tracy Brees?
Yes.
Dwayne Chatton?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
No.
Tim Salters?
No.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
No.
Well, it looks like Resolution 7-2019 passes by a vote of 4-3. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. Sharon?
Yes.
That's correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to claims.
I move we approve claims totaling $273,388.19.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Vice President Ravalette, to pay the claims in amount of $273,388.19. Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Dwayne Chatton?
Yes.
Tracy Brees?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yep.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the claims will be paid. Move on to miscellaneous. Real quick, I want to bring up the last meeting of the month. Typically, it's held earlier. I think this year it would have been the 23rd. I've talked with Sharon. She would like to request the 19th.
Yes.
We've discussed. That gives her time to get the books and everything in order before the end of the year, before new clerk treasurer comes in. So if we can meet noon the 19th here, and basically all it'll be is to pay the claims, make sure everybody gets paid.
Is noon okay with everyone?
It's on a Thursday.
Teach.
Oh, you teach?
Okay.
We're in the 19th, so.
Is there anybody else that can't be here the 19th? Or do you want to try?
I mean, we could do an evening if you, I mean, I don't know if it has to be noon, does it? But
we'll just do it at 6 o'clock. Everybody's kind of geared towards 6 o'clock.
Is that more convenient for everyone? Well, it's not more convenient for you, probably, but.
I'd rather 8 a.m. It's my last request.
Didn't we do one last year, like early?
Yeah, we did it like early.
We did it like what, 7?
Yeah. It was.
It was at 7?
Yeah.
I still teach at North Knox.
That's
far away. Sorry, people.
All right.
It doesn't
matter. I mean, we'll just do it later.
23rd makes me happy.
Oh,
okay.
19th.
That's what we're talking about.
Let's go get out.
As long as it's 19th, you're good.
School's out the 20th.
So it's going to be at 6 p.m.?
School's out on the 20th.
We have school on the 20th.
We have school on the 20th.
Well,
the idea of having it earlier is to give her more time to get her work done before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's okay with you.
We have it 19th at 6 o'clock. That's good, right?
Okay.
And you can be.
Okay.
On the 19th at 6 o'clock? Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do it the 19th at 6 o'clock then.
Okay. Next final council meeting will be November
19th, 6 p.m.
December.
Or December.
And, but I will also announce that there is not another Board of Works for this year, so this tonight was a final one. So.
Okay. I move for adjournment.
We are adjourned.
Meeting claims.
So this is something.